Hey guys, Eric here, and I want to talk to you real quick about thedailydownforce.com. Every day, this website covers the latest news and trends in NASCAR, from silly season right through the checkered flag in Phoenix. Need a new morning routine as soon as you wake up? Well, now you have it, dailydownforce.com. This is the website I use to keep up with the industry, the drivers, and of course, what the community is talking about. And speaking of community, dailydownforce.com is also home to some of your other favorite NASCAR content creators. Plus, they've got all sorts of information that I like to keep bookmarked, like schedules, penalties, ratings, and everything you want to know. Oh, and be sure to check out the merch shop while you're there to find some exclusive diecasts and collectibles. So check out dailydownforce.com, that's dailydownforce.com, and I'll see you in the replies.
Hey there, NASCAR fans. Have you got your copy of the latest edition of NASCAR Pole Position Print Magazine? If not, there's no better time than now to subscribe at polepositionmag.com. NASCAR Pole Position is the only print magazine covering NASCAR. Officially licensed by NASCAR, NASCAR Pole Position Magazine is published throughout the NASCAR season, and each edition is an instant collector's item, packed with great feature stories and photography. The magazine is even mailed to you in a poly bag for those who love to collect NASCAR memorabilia. At PolePositionMag.com, you can even find past issues available to purchase. Get your subscription to NASCAR Pole Position and get great NASCAR content delivered straight to your mailbox throughout the season. Learn more at PolePositionMag.com. That's PolePositionMag.com.
Hey y'all, Rick Houston here, and I want to tell you about my new show, the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast. I've partnered up with the State of North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to help uncover the history behind moonshining mountain boys, professional wheelmen, and the backwoods and city lights of the Tar Heel State. In the first episode, I sat down with Winston Kelly at the NASCAR Hall of Fame for a little behind-the-scenes gossip about Junior Johnson's engineering skills.
He's got two things in his hand, pipe wrench and channel lock pliers. And they weren't new. They had been around the block a time or two.
Wasn't the first deal they built, I bet.
No. The pliers had been red before, but paint had worn off.
And in the second episode, I talked to a professional hillbilly, a.k.a. Dr. Daniel Pierce, of UNC Asheville, to find out the real history of moonshiners and their battles with the revenuers.
He wrote about one of his experiences of trying to chase down this bootlegger and this souped-up car, and he complained that the government gave him these piece of crap, cheapo cars, and that were really no match, but he thought he was doing pretty good, and then the guy just hits it and just takes off and practically disappeared. But then the guy makes a bootleg turn and comes back towards him. And it, as he said, it was a game of chicken, and I was the chicken. And so he ran off the road. And actually, he was the guy who caught Junior Johnson at his daddy's still when Junior got tangled up in a barbed wire fence.
So check out the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast, available on YouTube, dailydownforce.com, and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And be sure to check out my regular show on NASCAR history, the Scene Vault Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. I'm your host this week, Eric Estep, coming to you from a different hotel room than I've been in the last couple of days. A much nicer hotel room, the Embassy Suites here, I know, upgraded me for free. So shout out to Embassy Suites. But I'm joined by our usual podcast quartet. I guess there's four of us.
Quartet. I never heard of that.
I was about to say trio, but I'm like, no. There's four of us. We're like the Beatles.
Yeah, nice.
Which Beatle are you? I think Darian's Ringo. That's just me.
Yeah, I think
I'll
so too.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But I'm joined by Darian Gilliam, Jarrett Lundberg, and Daniel Baldwin, Danny B Talks. Let's get into it. Speaking of Danny, Danny, what's on your mind? You were at Bristol Dirt this past weekend. Do you have any hot takes, perhaps, that came home with you?
Yeah. Scraped that crap off and never put it back down. It was fun for 3 years, but you know what? It's obvious the experiment. Produced good racing the third time. The second one was okay, but it's not helping with the attendance. And that's the biggest thing I'm upset about. I hate seeing that place getting smaller and smaller crowd sizes each year, especially in the spring. The rain's not helping. It being on Easter isn't a help. The dirt hasn't really made them flock in like we thought it would. So you know what? Give it concrete and let's find a real dirt track to go to.
All right. Well,
I see.
That's really funny because my hot take is that NASCAR fans are going to miss Bristol Dirt when it's gone because, one, we miss everything when it's gone. It never fails that we're nostalgic as just a fan base in general. But two, I think it did put on some pretty good racing. Even though the attendance this year was down from last year, it was still well up from the last few concrete races. And fans say they'll go to the concrete races until they don't, just like last time. I think that people are going to look back at this in 5-10 years, see how different this was, because there's not many dirt tracks that can actually hold a NASCAR event at it. And the one of them that can, we tried with the Truck Series and was awful with Knoxville. And the other one that can, Tony Stewart and NASCAR are having a little piss fit about it. So I think that fans are going to miss Bristol Dirt. I think it'd be a great tradition to do on Easter. Or if you do concrete, make it on Easter too, because every sport has a sports holiday except seemingly NASCAR. I'm on the complete other end. I think fans are going to miss Bristol Dirt big time.
I like it. 1v1, Danny versus Jarrett. We need a cage match inside of what's the big TV at Bristol called? What's that?
Colossus. I've said for years that they need to host WrestleMania there. So me and Jarrett main event versus Roman Reigns, and he'll beat us both.
Well, I'm up next, I guess. So not only are two concrete races not only bad for Bristol, but they're bad for the sport. Danny, you were at the 2019 Spring Bristol race. What was the attendance like for that?
It was crap. They didn't even sell seats in the turns.
Exactly. So just seeing that was an absolute eyesore. And the fact that I happened to be interning at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway that weekend for NHRA, like, it just by comparison, it looked like NHRA had way more people in the stands than the actual Cup Series race at Bristol that day. So I'm going to stay with this contingent that I think a second Bristol race on concrete is just bad for all parties too. Nobody goes to them and stuff. We always complain about, I mean, like, there's no doubt the racing is spectacular, but I mean, we always complain about the attendance. And at the very least, Dirt Bristol has brought back some interest, you know, at the very least a little bit more interest in Bristol. And yeah, I have to agree with Jarrett's earlier hot take as well, to an extent. Yeah, once it's gone, people are going to get nostalgic and be like, oh man, Bristol Dirt was cool. And I'll be honest here, I'd rather have two races at Bristol, one on dirt, one on concrete, than just to have one. And that's what exactly is going to happen if we get rid of Dirt Bristol.
Can I just take 1 second to add back into my hot take that as far as Bristol Spring, I think Bristol Spring just go away altogether and bring in Nashville Fairgrounds eventually to take that date. That's what I want.
I love that. I love to see the Fairgrounds on Easter. I agree.
I'm a fan of that plan. If they end up with two Bristol concrete dates once again, they got to figure out a better slot on the schedule for the spring date because they just can't seem to catch a break with weather more times than not. Although this weekend, they kind of did. But that's not my hot take. You guys all talked about Bristol Dirt, the track, the event. I kind of want to segue into our first topic. I want to talk about one of the drivers, Christopher Bell. I kind of said this at the beginning of the year, but Christopher Bell is the best driver / team combo. Adam Stevens, the 20 team, is the best team at Joe Gibbs Racing, probably for the first time since 2013 with Matt Kenseth when he won 7 races. The 20 team is in charge over there. And I predicted at the beginning of the season that Bell was going to emerge as the best Joe Gibbs Racing driver / team this year. And he's well on his way to doing so. He's got the most top fives in the series. He's tied for the most top tens with Danny's boy, Alex Bowman. He's now leading the points, thanks partially to Bowman and Hendrick getting another penalty, which we'll talk about. And now he has a win. He now has a win. So Christopher Bell, well on his way to emerging as the best, most complete Joe Gibbs Racing unit right now. And on that note, actually, first off, before we start talking about Bell winning and everything that happened at Bristol Dirt, I'm going to ask the chat which of us had the best hot take, who they agree with most. I like that a couple of y'all were at odds, were direct opposites with each other. We don't just agree with each other. We may be best friends, but we don't just sit on this show and agree with each other for 2 hours every week. So that's some good stuff. Let's see who the chat agrees most with. They like you so far, Danny.
I'm going for 2 weeks in a row. I hadn't had any. I'm going for two in a row.
Nice.
They like what Danny had to say. On that note, gentlemen, Christopher Bell did win the Bristol Dirt Race, the third annual Food City Dirt Race. Jarrett, I want to start with you because I don't have all four of you on my screen. I'm on my phone, so I only have one at a time. And Jarrett, I'm currently looking at your face. So Jarrett, I'm going to start with you. Christopher Bell gets the win. Were you surprised that a dirt veteran finally won the NASCAR dirt race?
I'm surprised it took this long. I think towards the end of last year, maybe middle of last year, I sort of started getting on that train too of like, Bell is for real. Like, he seems legit at this point. And I think it's just continued. I forgot where I saw it, but it's like, I think there was a stat showing that Bell has won, what, 3 or 4 times in the last like 20 races. Like, he's been about as good as Tyler Reddick with it. So I'd say with Bell, like, I'm expecting this to keep going. I mean, I think I even said when they got Adam Stevens away from Kyle Busch, I was like, this is such a bad decision. Whoever Adam Stevens goes with is going to be performing amazing once, you know, that season ends.
So I think they said this fun fact in the media center after the race, at 116 career races, I think he's had. He is now, he's got the best like win to start ratio since Brad Keselowski in 116 races.
Wow. Dang.
Damn.
He's won 3 of the last 13 if you go back to last season's playoffs.
Mr. Clutch, too. So. I mean, look at his wins. Great.
Yeah, he's been great, man. Absolutely spectacular. I mean, really, I mean, like, when you look at the top five as a whole, though, I mean, like, we were just talking about, you know, like, you know, finally a dirt veteran wins at Dirt Bristol. It's about damn time. Then looking at the rest.
To be fair, the year before was kind of a fluke. It should have been a dirt veteran.
True that. But then looking at the top five, Tyler Reddick, P2. I mean, Austin Dillon, P3. I mean, he's not necessarily like, you know, the biggest dirt guy, but he has raced on dirt before. And then rounding out the top five is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Chase Briscoe. So not only is this event obviously, you know, the most unique points race on the NASCAR schedule, but now it's like starting to, I mean, like, you're starting to see like the same crop of guys, like, you know, always, you know, be competitors in the Dirt Bristol race here. Like, Kyle Larson would have been there but wasn't, for obvious reasons. And I don't know, like, I just keep this event going, because I'm really interested to see, like, you know, obviously this isn't like, you know, like actual like dirt racing, you know, like USAC, you know, like different forms, but it's definitely a novelty on the schedule. Now, has that novelty like worn off a little bit? Yeah, that's it definitely has to some extent, but you're starting to see, you know, the dirt racers rise to the top.
I will say, with Easter changing dates, that is one issue with keeping it on Easter. So I believe next year Easter lands on like the last week or two of March, I want to say. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Actually, what am I doing? I have it on the calendar.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's in March next year. Yeah.
I'll pull up the
which would be even worse time to try to run in Bristol, I think.
I just wrapped up our best hot take poll, by the way. Danny had double that of the next highest vote getter. So
that's
there you
two
go.
In a row.
And I just started a new poll, and it's kind of a runaway. I asked, is the number 20 team the best JGR team right now? And it's, I'm not going to say the number, but it is.
Oh my gosh.
It is one-sided, to say the least.
Wow. Yeah. Very one-sided.
Kind of appropriate that the leading vote was Christopher Bell's first number.
Yeah. Jarrett, you mentioned Adam Stevens. I want to give him some credit, because this race was partially won by Bell holding off Reddick and others on long runs. But Adam Stevens put his driver out front by choosing not to pit at the end of stage two. They saw how it worked for a handful of drivers at the end of stage one, not pitting. They held the lead or held their track position really well in stage two. So at the end of stage two, Stevens left Bell out there. He had a good buffer. I think guys like Larson, Reddick were back around 9th or 10th. So there's a solid buffer there. But I think Adam Stevens deserves some credit for getting Christopher Bell that track position.
Can I just make a note about Adam Stevens real quick? After the race, we were down in the media center. It was me, Peter Strada, and Noah Lewis down there. And Adam Stevens was just sitting in this little lobby area at a table beside of us, just looking at the little sword, because the crew chief gets a sword too, and he's just looking at it, checking it out.
Is his sword smaller than the driver's?
Smaller,
sword?
Yes.
Oh, he gets like a dagger.
it's still longer. It's not like a knife or nothing. But
have any of y'all seen this will actually make sense with what you're talking about? Have any of you seen the new Puss in Boots movie?
Yes.
No.
The little like dagger that's only that big that he gets instead of his sword. That's what Adam Stevens gets in response. Somebody should edit him like holding that little just mini cat dagger and just put that in there. That would be funny as hell.
But props to Adam Stevens though. I mean, like when you know he started running poorly with Kyle Busch, I guess some people were looking at him like, "Hey, you're the problem." I mean, because Kyle Busch is Kyle Busch. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you need to leave. And now his second life with Christopher Bell seems to be working out pretty well. Now they're the best Joe Gibbs Racing team.
And to keep with Puss in Boots references, if he's on his second life, he's still got seven more to go. So Adam Stevens is going to be around for
a long way to go. Got a long way to go now.
Darian, you mentioned Kyle Larson was one of the dirt ringers, if you will, that was not in the top five for obvious reasons, like you said.
He was running in the top five, but then
he spun out on his own back in traffic. That put him behind. But before that, he and Ryan Preece got together. Larson pinched Preece off of, I think, turn two, forced the 41 car into the wall. Preece later on ended up breaking a toe link, I believe. Later in the race, they're both back in traffic. I think they're still in the lead lap, but they're back in traffic. And Preece repays the favor, wedges Larson up into the wall. He didn't explicitly admit it was on purpose afterwards. He was playing it safe in wake of the Hamlin penalties. But it's pretty clear Ryan Preece wanted to get Larson back. So, Danny, I want to start with you. You were there. I'm not sure if you heard from Preece or Larson directly after the race, but what do you make of Preece? Do you think Priest's revenge was justified?
So we got to talk with Larson and the medical center afterwards. We did go run over to Preece. I was kind of standing in the back. I couldn't really hear good, and my microphone actually stopped working, so I didn't hear what Preece had to say, unfortunately. But with Larson, his response was basically like, there's no reason to talk to Preece about it. Like he just kind of scratched it up, like off as like, hey, Preece is just frustrated, he's having a bad race, you know. Like he's like what's the point? Why would I go talk to him?
And Larson's like, I mean, we're seeing a trend with that. Larson, like, I mean, he's a champion, but then when it comes to like being involved in like some sort of controversy on track, he seems just like so chill. I mean, even with the Bubba Wallace stuff, when he was pushing him and stuff, he's just kind of like, dude, like, what are you doing here? And I got the same vibe with the whole Ryan Preece thing. It was like, dude, like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like this is stupid. You know, we should be racing. And then obviously they weren't. But that sucks for Preece though, because Ryan Preece, we talked about Stuart Haas Racing for a while now, just sucking in general. Besides Kevin Harvick. And finally, you know, Chase Briscoe and Ryan Preece are doing their thing on dirt, and then Preece has that happen to him. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
I feel like to a degree it was justified. I think it wasn't as necessarily as justified to Larson as it just was in general to show he's not going to get run over every week. It's interesting. I'm looking at the way that they're voting right now, and I don't know if I have it. I don't have it still on me. But I ran actually this poll on Sunday night right after the race. And I was surprised. I'm surprised actually right now how different the poll is running out. It was near 50-50 on Sunday night when I ran this. And I'm like, I'm noticing now as the weeks went on, more people are like, you know, maybe he wasn't that wrong. Maybe he was justified in this. He needed to make a message, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Do you think like maybe it swayed a little bit because like, I don't know, like, Larson's, you know, he's, you know, champion, drives for Hendrick Motorsports. You think the fans might be playing a little bit of favorites here, just automatically going with like the underdog in a sense?
I think NASCAR fans, I think, are definitely predisposed to go for the underdog. So I think that has something to do with it. But again, Larson also is one of the more popular drivers. So
yeah.
Maybe they just want fights.
I look at it, and I like that Ryan Preece, he's done a lot of talking the last few weeks, or even last year, from the, you know, don't do that, to now, you know, calling everyone hacks a few weeks ago, saying they all need to get their ass whooped. It's like, okay, you can say that, but to see him actually go out and stand up for himself, I think, kind of like you said, Jared, that he needed to do that. I don't know that this was entirely justified. Yeah, he got wronged by Larson, but not long after he got squeezed into the wall by Larson, he squeezed Ty Dillon and Kyle Busch into the wall the same exact way, arguably worse. So, I mean, they're both just, I don't know if they're necessarily both accidents. They're, you know, aggressive moves trying to get the other guy to lift. But, you know, just to act like, for Priest to act like he's never made that same mistake, he made the exact same mistake in that same race. So that was the only reason after the race, I was kind of like, eh, like I'm 50-50. Yeah, Larson wronged you. But you know, you wronged some people too. If everyone got everyone back for those types of squeeze jobs, it would have been, we would have had even more wrecks than we did Sunday night. So I don't know. I don't have an issue. I'm glad Priest finally stood up for himself. There was some drama brewing between with Chase Briscoe at the end of the race because he took out Ryan Blaney on the final restart. Mm-hmm. On Twitter later, he completely apologized, took the blame for it. But I just wanted to mention it because I feel bad for Blaney fans. It looked like he had a top five.
Hey, man, look, Ryan Blaney fans. Hey, you know what? Ryan Blaney fans are pretty much used to this at this point. You know what? Always good in the race, but usually never good enough to take the victory or to take any sort of significant points. Yeah, I mean, like that wasn't on Ryan Blaney at all. And I mean, Blaney's been public about, like, you know, the way some of these drivers have been racing for a while now. I mean, I remember after the Indy Road Course last year, he was like, "Yeah, it's just like there's." You can't race. There's nothing you can do when everyone just keeps slamming into you. And I don't know. It's just, when is he ever going to catch a break? I don't know. That's to be determined.
Well, to be fair,
that's certainly how it feels.
At least Briscoe like owned up to it.
Yeah.
Like he could have, that wasn't me. He turned across my nose. Like he owned up to it. And so like, I respect that. I think, the thing I more honestly respect though, the fact that he drove with that broken finger and like seeing the x-ray today.
Ooh.
God, that looked like hurt.
Let me share a personal story. So I broke my middle finger in fifth grade. So this is what it looks like now. It's all crooked now forever. Yeah, I know. It's ugly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can't imagine though. Like, I mean, like obviously, like I'm you know, his was like, you know, pretty bad, obviously, but I mean, yeah, to go all out, you know, the entire race like that and still get a top five. I mean, Chase Briscoe is talented. The question is, can his team provide him, you know, with, you know, the equipment and stuff in general? I mean, can he put up the results with Stuart Haas Racing is the real question.
It's not easy to tell anymore just because it's healed so much. But right here is a big bump on my finger.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell you broke it because it's like all fat.
I didn't break it.
You didn't?
Hyperextended it.
Oh,
where it's
God.
Like where it just bends but doesn't break.
Why does it almost sound worse?
It looks like that. Damn,
it really sucks when it's essay week and you have to write a 5-paragraph essay in every class every day. And I'm like, I can't really right now because my finger is twice the size of the rest of them. But
you know, get the teacher to do it for you.
You ghostwriter.
Yeah.
No, actually, between that and when I hyperextended my elbow in high school playing football, I'm not great at it, but I actually taught myself to write with my left hand.
Oh, wow.
It looked like a second grader, but, you know, it was legible.
Hey, in third grade, you start learning cursive, so I'm excited for you to report back.
I'll get to it. I'll post on Twitter when I have perfect calligraphy cursive.
I want to call attention to a few of the spins. There's many spins.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first off, Michael McDowell, 2 360s. That first 360 where he looped it in traffic. Like,
that was so cool.
He only lost like 3 or 4 positions. Like, that's crazy. You can do a full 360 and not lose a ton of spots.
And then he does it again. He does it again.
Yeah, he did do it again. The second one wasn't quite as impressive. Also, Fox couldn't get a camera on it to save their life. So,
That's so cool, though. That was so cool.
My bad. I was going to end the poll from earlier. 64% of our viewers, 66% said that Ryan Preece's revenge was in fact justified. But can we talk about the inconsistency caution calls? Okay, let me just say this first.
Okay.
I didn't have a problem with the inconsistency most of the night. I think it was clear if someone was stopped or stopped facing the wrong way, they were throwing it. But if you spun facing the right way, you were able to still kind of keep rolling. They were more hesitant to throw it. I honestly didn't have a problem with that. Maybe it wasn't the most safest thing in the world, but it was best for the show. The problem was at the end, they threw that caution for Kyle Busch, who spun lazily on the pit road. That was obviously the wrong call. They then didn't throw the flag for Blaney wiping out in the middle of the entire pack. Mm-hmm. So, Darian, I mean, what did you make of the officiating? Did you have a problem with it all night or just the end there?
No. Actually, I thought up until Kyle Busch's that whole, you know, wacky caution deal with Kyle Busch, I thought NASCAR officiating for the most part was like damn near perfect. I'm going to be honest with you. And now I know some of y'all listening and watching are like, wait a minute, what are you talking about, Darren? I'm like, all right, just hear me out for a second. Because whenever there were these like single car spins and stuff, I mean, like, you know, NASCAR, they've had a history of just like, oh, caution for like just any little thing on the track. For the sake of the show, we need, you know, proper race flow, you know, to make Dirt Bristol work. Because if you're just throwing out a bunch of cautions and stuff, they're not racing. They're just going to be pacing the entire time. And, you know, there's no point in that. So if there's a single car spin and stuff, or, you know, a whole 360 spin like Michael McDowell did twice, then, you know, like if it affects other drivers, then sure. But if you're like, if they're like spun out, you know, all the way off the racetrack by themselves, then no, keep the race going, keep the race going. Yeah, that's why it was so confusing towards the end where Ryan Blaney's spin wasn't a caution, but then Kyle Busch's was a caution, you know. But other than that, though, I thought NASCAR officiating, they did it right for the most part. I mean, like to make Dirt Bristol work, the race flow has to be, I'm not saying the race flow has to be like perfect, but it has to be somewhat decent at the very least to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, with me, I can't say I was too upset, to be honest with you, just because of, like Darian said, the race flow and everything like that. But it was so clear as day that that last caution was meant to bunch them up. Let's get a restart at the end and like let's go like that. And I don't like that.
It's a shame. It ruined a great finish.
It was kind of too bad because we were seeing, like, honestly, just like good, like they were riding the high line or trying to make the run on each other.
Actual racing.
Now, I will point this out, and I think this is why NASCAR did it. If I'm not mistaken, there was only one, if there wasn't one, no passes for the lead on track that race. There were only four leaders and four lead changes all race.
There was one point where a couple guys were throwing sliders at each other.
Yeah, that was the only point they could they passed for lead. So like I'm not saying that and justifies NASCAR throwing a BS caution, but I'm understanding why they did it. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. But if somebody is clearly, or there are two cars clearly getting away and they're fighting up front, a bunch of them, let them fight it out. Like that was completely out of the way. There's no reason for it. Like, what, do you expect Kyle Busch to turn into Kevin LePage all of a sudden? Like, I don't think so.
But what made this even more blatant was, didn't he spin directly on pit lane?
He lazily listed to the left. That's all he did.
I was like, come on, NASCAR. Like, you were doing great up until then. But
you had it, and then you didn't.
No, because Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick, man, they were about to have, like, one of the greatest Bristol finishes, I thought. Now, obviously, that very last caution needed to be called. I mean, now, the car was stuck on the track. But
the Blaney deal, I think, is kind of surprising that it threw a caution there, because he got basically, and Chase Briscoe admitted he did this after the race. He admitted that he hit the turtle, basically went way too low, hit the turtle, and it self corrected itself back into Blaney. So that was a little, maybe it should have been cautioned for that one.
Yeah.
Because Blaney kind of got screwed over by that.
Oh, not kind of. Yeah. He did. He gassed completely screwed.
Absolutely. Before we start to get to things like the ratings and the poll, of course, I want to give a shout out to Ty Gibbs, fourth straight top 10.
Yeah.
Was it another ninth place finish? What'd he get?
I think it was 10th this time. Less sexy.
And actually, really quick, can I go over the top 10 really quick? I mean, I just want to go over some notables. We already went over the top five earlier, but just go over it again. Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, Austin Dillon, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chase Briscoe, top five. The 6 through 10, very interesting. Justin Haley, Martin Truex Jr., Todd Gilliland, Kevin Harvick, and then Ty Gibbs rounds out the top 10. So a lot of feel-good stories. I think the biggest one is Justin Haley, just because, you know, their appeal got denied for their penalties and stuff. And then now they back it up with a top 10 in the Tide ride, by the way. Beautiful ride. And then Todd Gilliland.
And a game car. Looked good.
Yeah, exactly. And then Todd Gilliland, he's really, like, he's been performing better than I thought. I mean, like,
Four straight 15th or better finishes.
Yeah.
He's just showing off to him, saying, like, deserves he right for not letting me finish the whole season.
Well, and you want to hear something crazy. Todd Gilliland, we're probably going to think, oh, front row car, and then runs a couple here with, like, Rick Ware or whoever. Todd Gilliland is currently 23rd in the points, 37 out of the playoffs, right near guys like LaJoy and Austin Dillon, and above guys like Bubba Wallace, AJ Allmendinger, Eric Jones, Ryan Preece, and then all the slow Fords. And
it sounds it sounds to me like a team just needs to have faith in this guy, get the right sponsorship deal together, and just run a full season with the team. Like,
I mean, yeah. At least we know no matter what, he'll have a Rick Ware ride at this point. So,
yeah. Well, he's back in the 38 this weekend, but we'll get to
that. I mean when he needs it.
They're yeah. Really okay.
True. Yeah.
He's like,
true
that. Damn, that's pretty good.
Is this true? I saw Justin Haley, congratulations, also got engaged this week. Is it true that is it true that her name is Haley and her name's gonna be Haley?
Yeah.
John in the chat just dropped that message. That's insane.
All makes me think of is the droids in Star Wars, Roger, Roger.
Oh my gosh. That's funny though. I mean, congrats, but that's a funny little note.
Haley, Haley.
Speaking of the chat, we have over 600 live viewers. And I asked them, will Ty Gibbs, again, race top 10 streak, will Ty Gibbs make the playoffs this year? It's pretty close, but 59% are saying no, he will not make the playoffs.
Nah, disrespect. The disrespect, bro. He's been so consistent. Like, look.
They're thinking he's got to win because so far we've had a good amount of winners.
Yeah, but I know we had a good amount of winners, but bro, I mean, he's been consistent, man. You don't think at the very least a fluke win's going to come here or there based on like a bunch of people wrecking, field mileage, like something crazy or whatever.
He has to get past McDowell.
Yeah, true.
Who's ahead of him in points?
Oh yeah. So where exactly is Ty Gibbs in points right now?
18th.
Nine down.
I'll take it. I'll go with yes.
It was funny because right when you said, because I can see it on my end, right when you go, he's been consistent all season, it goes 18th in points, Gibbs.
All right, so let me rephrase that. He's been consistent for at least the past 4 to 5 races.
Enough. He's been consistent enough.
Enough. Right. But I'll go with yes.
What'd y'all think of the Choose drone? Danny, you saw it in person. Did you get a good view of it? I posted a video of it, I saw.
Maybe I did. It was very visible though. I'll say that. Like, you could definitely see it good. There was nothing to worry about. I think that's the only place I would want to see it. Don't start bringing this every night race we go to, because that's just dumb.
It's cool though. I mean, it was cool, at least from the TV.
I'm glad they put a camera on it. Not that it was the most amazing view in the world, but it was kind of a nice touch.
I mean, I still think it would have been fine, honestly, just literally when you're on the backstretch, run out the cone, be right at the rope. Okay, they're done. Bring it back in.
Can I just say this though? I personally think that NASCAR's broadcasts don't cover the choose well enough. Like, sometimes they come back from commercial and they're like, they just got done choosing. Or they're like, oh, here's the choose. And every now and then they'll have the graphic for it. Like, that's really, especially towards the end of the race, that is really important for who ends up where or in a stage or wherever. Like, that can be some kind of strategy a fan can follow. That, and this is a pet peeve of mine because I take notes through the race. Fox, for the love of all that is holy, please, when you show who finished in the top 10 in the stage, don't cut off before the top 10 is even finished. I have to go on the NASCAR.com leaderboard to get the finish of the stage, because Fox would be like, and fifth place is this, and we're going to go to commercial, sponsored by Coca-Cola.
It's just trying to go through the top 10.
It's a pet peeve, because I'm somebody who always likes writing down all the stats and like knowing what's going on. And like, I should not have to go to a secondary app because the top 10 was only on screen for 8 seconds.
No, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, just a little pet peeve. But I mean, for the most part, I thought the broadcast was pretty good. I mean, I felt like it really showcased the spectacular racing we had saw, especially in the midfield at times too, especially towards the end of the race. And I don't know, just the commentating too, like, it seemed like they had way more energy this weekend. I could be wrong, but at least that's the vibe I got from it. But yeah,
the commentary was good. I didn't really have an issue with that. Cameras for the most part were good. I thought they followed mid-pack battles well. Mm-hmm. They just missed a few spins. That there's one part, I think, in stage two where there's all hell was breaking loose and we barely got a camera on any of it. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some replays later on, but like in the moment it was a lot of this guy's around and we're not seeing it, and that was frustrating. But that's, you know, it is what it is.
I think I said it in one of my post-race streams, but I was like, you know, the broadcast, like, the commentary wasn't that bad today. I'm like, it's either they've gotten better or I've just become numb to it.
Once NBC takes over, we'll really know how we feel about Fox.
Yeah. Hey, they're already filming driver promos for it. I saw Bubba's filming something last weekend. So it's just around the corner, y'all. Just around the corner.
Before we get to the famous iceberg poll, we already kind of addressed this on our hot takes, but one word answer. I'll go down the list. Should the Bristol Dirt Race return on or around Easter weekend next year? Darian, yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Jarrett, what do you think?
Si.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. I'm not bilingual, but I knew that one. Danny, I think I know where you stand on this.
No.
No. Okay.
Interesting.
I'm going to say yes. I would like to see it one more year because I thought the racing was fantastic. But you're right, Danny. The attendance was not as impressive as the last year.
If we're going to do it, sure. Just go with what we've been trying. But I don't want it to.
Well, while the attendance wasn't as good either, we can also point to the ratings. So I think that the stats do seem to be backing up your case, Danny. The ratings on Fox this week is a 1.88 rating and 3.45 million viewers. Both are down roughly 14% from last year. 800,000 viewers in the key demo, though, which is actually a little a higher percentage than we're used to. That's roughly 23% of the total viewer base. The truck race, meanwhile, was also down about 9.5%. Still got over 1 million viewers on FS1, but just worth mentioning. I mean, those numbers are very much in line with the past 4 or 5 weeks. Now, Chase Elliott, we'll talk about this in the second half of tonight's show, but Chase Elliott is back at Martinsville this weekend. So we might start to find out over the next couple of weeks. We've been seeing 10 to 15% decreases. How much of that was the Chase Elliott effect? Mm-hmm. We'll start to find that out here in the next couple of weeks.
I think it'll go up a little bit. I think it'll probably boost it. Let's just say 9%.
I think it'll be 4 or 5% at first, then maybe 7% the next week. Then
I will say
word has to get out.
This happening 2 weeks before Talladega is going to be a huge boost in general, because there's always, I've noticed this, you know, and maybe it's just being on YouTube watching analytics and stuff, but I've noticed there's always like that fall off in April, and then Talladega, you start getting it back up, and by the time you get to the month of May, IndyCar helps all ships rise with that. And it goes from there. But having that extra boost week, I'm hoping that'll help. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm not expecting it to, but I think it'll at least help compared to the last couple weeks. Now, if it doesn't beat last year's race that was delayed 2.5 hours due to rain, we have some serious, serious problems on a Saturday night, no less. Like, this race should be higher than last year on all counts. Yeah,
I think Chase Elliott returning is going to stop some of the bleeding, but not fully.
I agree. So I think it's time to hear what our viewers had to say after the race.
Yes. It's time for the poll, the famous iceberg poll on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast.
Well, a lot of people had a lot to say about the Bristol Dirt Race. 27% said that it was a great race. Then you had 45% saying it was good, so 72% net positive. 17% said it was average, 6% below average, and 5% said it was bad. So 11% were more on the negative side. A little higher than usual from a lot of polls we've had this year. Darian, I told you about the first comment already, so you can't talk here.
Yeah.
From Shug's B Meows.
Well, it's got to be a meme.
Yeah, meme.
All right. I'm not reading the whole damn thing because it was a freaking book.
Shug's.
Shugs has a wild mind.
Just making us little paws go to town.
Yeah, for real.
So Shugs B. Meows wrote a letter. Dear Daddy and Mommy. This is going to get taken out of context. Whenever you finish your podcast meeting on the TV, can you please take me to one of those NASCAR races at Dirty Egg Track? Love, the official cat of the NASCAR Weekly Podcast TV, Shugs B. Meows. And then it goes XOXOXOXOXO.
Oh, damn. So he's calling NASCAR NASCAR. That's funny. That's funny.
Well, to be fair, Shugs sleeps there in all races a lot.
So. Meows, there you go. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Let's look at some of the other comments here. The first comment was from Blake, or like top comment, at least voted-wise, was from Blake. Said, that was fun. Thoroughly enjoyed the race tonight. Last 15 laps of stage 2 was great. Really hoped Austin Dillon was going to win that.
Yep, that was fun. We were having fun.
NASCAR comparisons says, I'm so happy for Christopher Bell. He is the most consistent driver at JGR right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He has a bright future ahead of him if he can keep this level of consistency for every season.
Yep, it's just the beginning.
And then I'll this will be the last one I'll read from the top, and then we'll kind of go to the guys in the middle. But from Justin Berg, great race, multiple grooves all night. Congrats to Christopher Bell. Let's see. I'm just going to scroll until it refreshes three times and see what comes up. Tank Slapper says, a little heavy on the cautions early on, but the slide jobs were fantastic all night long.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say this was the best prepared version of Bristol dirt. Like,
oh yeah,
so far, like, yeah, it was slick, it was awkward, but there was multiple grooves almost the entire
race. Even the little like tears that were starting to form in the middle of the track, like it was adding character into it.
Hey, props to the track prep. They used two truck series drivers, Raja Karuth and Grant Infinger, I believe, were the two drivers, and they were prepping the track.
When I was walking in, I was like, wait, why is Raja in his fire suit? Did I miss something? Is he driving for somebody?
Is there a multi-class race going on here? Is there
He'll be in truck the 51 racing? Tonight.
But then I saw Grant Infinger right in front of him. I was like, okay, they must be prepping a track or something.
Yeah, but they did a great job. Yeah.
Another comment from Dexter here says, I wonder how this race would have gone if they ran it in 2006 with high horsepower Gen 4s.
Oh, that's a major what if, yeah.
So late
Models. I mean, we've seen ARCA Gen 4s run on dirt, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to find ones that aren't books. Okay, Grunk McSaucy.
I like that name.
That aren't books. That's the last at the last comment.
Grunk McSaucy says, I thought it was so-so. The racing was good and heavy traffic, but out front you could catch the leader, but I didn't see a lot of passing up there.
Yeah, I agree.
That's true.
Jack says, for Blaney fans, more pain for us.
No, seriously, yeah. Y'all are just used to it at this point.
All right, here's one I like on just all counts here. It's from Isaac, who's somebody who's been a fan for a while.
Yeah, that's Isaac.
And it's two halves here, and it's edited. It says, McDowell supremacy be like, I'll try spinning. That's a good trick. And then there's an edit. I like the edit even more than that. Also, my mom's birthday is on Thursday, and her favorite driver is Michael McDowell. Can I get a McDowell supremacy for my mom? McDowell supremacy.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Isaac's mom.
He's actually been running pretty good without the, you know, the old crew chief, and I thought like, oh, it's over now, but no, it's been great.
Speaking of that, does Blake Harrison, did they come back this week?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Hey, this is good for you. Yes, like good for you. You're like, yeah, I've been waiting for that.
I want to go from eighth place every week to running for wins again.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if eighth is like the worst they can do,
I still gotta say this for Bowman and his team, they fell to 11th after a bad run at Bristol, but they had only went to 7th after that last penalty. So all in all, that speaks as to where their season was. So
yeah, they'll be okay.
I'm gonna apologize now. I don't know how to read this person's name. We're on the bottom three, by the way.
Okay.
Leaves a really simple comment. Horrible race.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, sir. All right. Moving on.
Jacek says, get rid of dirt racing in NASCAR. A wreck fest of a race. I know I'm in the minority, but I strongly dislike this race.
Well, that wasn't necessarily a wreck fest. I mean, they were barely. I mean, yeah, for the most part, I thought they were calling the cautions the right way. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some sort of race flow.
The race still ended in less than 3 hours.
Yeah, like if it was really a wreck fest, it would have been way over. But I disagree.
All right, the last one's from Ghost Killer, but half the letters are numbers. Boring.
He make actually cut race out his mic.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I was just going full Darian.
Wow, that's weird.
I thought you had froze at first too.
Yeah.
All right, there. All right, now it's full Darian. I made the lightning go. But boring. Make this an exhibition race instead of a points race.
I mean,
I think we say that about a lot of things. Clash is an exhibition race. Chicago Street should be an exhibition race. Bristol Dirt should be an exhibition. Like, honestly, they could all be points. Maybe not the Clash, the costume, but they could. The rest of them could be points races. We've proven that 3 years in a row. I don't know.
I mean, why would we change it to a non-points race then? I don't know. Like, but no, I love Dirt Bristol. Keep it for good.
But that was the poll.
Yes, and that'll conclude this edition of the famous Iceberg Poll on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast.
I want to say we've received a ton of super chats tonight. Really appreciate everyone's support. We will read the first batch of those here roughly at the top of the hour. Real quick, let's talk trucks, gentlemen. Joey Logano finished dead last on Sunday, but he dominated Saturday in that 66 truck. I don't know what else there really is to say other than I thought the racing behind him was great.
Yeah, the racing behind him was pretty great. And then, you know what? Go ahead, Jerry. I see you raising your hand. What do you want to say? What do you want to say?
Norm Venning set a record. He's the oldest driver to score a lead lap finish in the top three series of NASCAR.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Wait, he finished on the lead lap?
Uh-huh. Wow. 24th.
I missed that because I walked by his truck after the race, and it was smashed into pieces in the back. I was like, dang, this truck's seen better days. And Claudia was like, that's Norm Benning. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
All I'm going to say is I'm happy. I'm happy. Norm getting the recognition he deserves, and I'm more than happy to be a Norm Benning fan this week.
And not bad, not bad. I think, like, the racing up front was, the top three. I'm looking at having pulled up on my screen. Joey Logano, Ty Majeski, William Byron, basically in a league of their own, pretty much. But then, really, from 4th through 11th to 12th, we had some very interesting battles, especially towards the end there. I thought Rajah Caruth got his, what would have been his first career top 10 in the truck series. But no, he ended up finishing 11th, barely losing out to Matt DiBenedetto. But then, Caden Honeycutt really stole the show. He was spectacular. Matt Crafton doing a double duty was good. Chase Briscoe driving the 22 was, for that equipment, it was decent. And then finally, Haley Deegan ended up finishing ahead of Jonathan Davenport, 13th over 14th place. But she was running up front for a little bit there, too. Obviously, it's dirt, so I don't know. Like, I feel like for Haley Deegan, I always expect a top 10, but, like, I don't know, just he never can really deliver like that at Dirt Bristol. And then finally, Carson Hocevar, I mean, was the big winner a week ago, but then was just me. Not he was in the race, but then we barely saw him, basically.
He was there.
Yeah, he was there. But yeah.
That's kind of it about the truck race. I thought it was good behind Joey Logano. I really thought Ty Majeski maybe had something for him, but Logano would just get such a huge jump on the restarts.
It was the same top three. It was Logano, Majeski, Byron. Those three.
In all three stages, right?
Yep. The whole way. Like, I think, I want to say they said Majeski's average running was like 2.2, I think.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's crazy.
Which surprises me because his background is not in dirt. It's more an asphalt light model. So, but pretty good job.
The funniest part about this race, though, took place afterwards when Logano, he's like asking, like somebody asked him a question about the fans or whatever. And he said, one of them gave me the middle finger, two middle fingers the entire race. It just wouldn't stop. Like, I was like, is he actually watching the race or is it
when I heard it, I thought that sounded like something Dalton Good would do.
Yeah. And then what do you know? I go on Twitter, refresh it. Boom. There's Dalton Good just giving the old freaking salute, the old two finger salute there. The entire time. So,
I'm not going to say that I was happy that Kyle Busch spun around towards the end with Dalton there, but I definitely wasn't upset. I got the, I'm sorry. Dalton angry about Kyle Busch is great entertainment.
Yeah, it is.
All love, and Dalton. All love.
and then I just thought it was funny because Logano addresses that, and then I immediately refresh it. And then afterwards, I see like, oh, that was him. I knew it. Like, I didn't want to assume. But then I kind of had an idea of like, okay, I think I knew who it was.
But at the same time, I saw where Dalton was sitting. He was pretty high up. I'm like, how did Joey see that?
Hey, it must have been that boring of a race because Logano was so out front. He was just like, might as well look. Oh, yeah, and he's got the glasses on. That's right. He's got the goggles on.
It is short track racing.
Well, would you look up there? Hey, that guy in the Kyle Busch stuff is flipping me off.
You got to have your goggles on.
Coleman, can you reach over and spit on that guy for me?
But yeah, no, congrats to Joey Logano, a Leech Truck Series victory. Good
job. Off Rick, I like that in the chat from the debut videos. Well, gentlemen, we're almost to the halfway point, which means there's a change in the air, a change in the weather, Darian. Isn't that right?
Most definitely, most definitely. Damn, I feel like this is the earliest we've done this in a while.
It's fast-paced.
Hey, I like this.
We got a lot to get to.
Hey, I not only do I like this pace, I like it's the lightning round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. Jarrett, what do we have on tap for tonight?
Well, lightning was a little off base there. It took a minute to all come in, but we got a few things here. Denny Hamlin's penalty was upheld. Shocker. I'm just very surprised here. But a nicer thing to talk about, kind of more serious topic that ended with a very good ending here. Richard Childress Racing and Richard Childress loaned one of their planes to a North Carolina county sheriff's office to help bring home a missing child to their to her family in Pennsylvania.
Wow. Nice.
So, good stuff there. This is an interesting one. The United States has put a GM infantry squad vehicle into production with frames provided by Hendrick Motorsports.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, hey, if it can withstand flips at Daytona, it might be good for battle.
The machine be turning. Cale Yarborough, unfortunately, has been reportedly been ill recently, so keep him in your mind's prayers. Though I haven't heard any negative updates, so I think that's good news until we hear otherwise. Daniel Suarez will be running the SRX race at Thunder Road on July 20th.
I'll be there for that one.
Yeah, I like that. Get some of these younger guys in there.
Sundrop is releasing a limited time Dale Jr. branded can as part of the renewed contract with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Again, according to Adam Stern.
I tried Sundrop for the first time today. I'm in North Carolina. And
compare it to Mountain Dew.
I'll be honest, I haven't had Mountain Dew in a while. It tasted exactly the same. With Coke and Pepsi, you can maybe taste like a slight difference.
Yeah.
I haven't had Mountain Dew in a few months at least, probably, but I didn't taste much. It was really good. I didn't realize it was a Dr. Pepper-owned company. I love me some
Dr. Pepper, even so better. You're ready to go.
I support Sundrop to the fullest.
One more story here, and then one thing I got to remind fans about. But starting up here, Fox Sports will have a few broadcasts in 4K, and it looks like the first of those will be the Coca-Cola 600.
Oh, wow.
Side note, you don't have it on there, but when we go to Coke 600, we will see the return of NASCAR Race Day.
Oh, yeah, that's true. For SMI tracks. It's only for the SMI tracks, correct, Danny?
Not all of them, but they've got like a schedule like six of them that are going to be coming up.
Okay.
And then last one, next week is the due date for your top 75 lists of all time. And again, April 19th at midnight, when it hits 420, you're getting denied. just letting you know now.
And we're making this easy because we're going just cup guys only. Because I've been starting to see all the people they're adding into. It's like, dang, I would have thought I'd do that one. Because like they're going for all the series now for the real list. No,
we just want the cup guys. We're just going to keep it simple, short, sweet, and to the point.
And all of us already have ours in. They're very.
I got mine in like 10 minutes before the deadline, like I promised.
16, but who's counting?
Right before the deadline, just checked into a random hotel.
Oh, crap. I forgot to hit send.
See, that's why I sent mine early, because I was like, this is going to drive me crazy. So I'm gonna
I was like Santa Claus. I was checking my list twice. All that nonsense.
Who's naughty or nice.
I'll say this. So it's at weeklypodcastguest@gmail.com. Weeklypodcastguest@gmail.com. I'll say this about our picks, at least the four of us. None of us had any driver at the same spot in our list. Like in the sense that like there was not one driver that was like all P69 or number one. There was close. One of them has number seven with three lists, but other than that, the only overlap would be two lists. So we have a good amount of variety in this list.
So we all have someone different at number one, is what you're saying.
I can't say that just yet.
I won't say that just yet.
Because I gotta add in the chat with it too.
Okay. Two of us might have the same number one, but then the other guys might have something different. That's interesting. Yeah,
true.
So,
interesting.
But that's it. I think that's it.
And that'll do it for this edition of the Lightning Round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. And now, back to the show.
Let's go and talk about Chase Elliott for a moment, because I was driving from Charlotte to, I'm currently in Raleigh, North Carolina, spoiler alert. I didn't see the official announcement, but I guess Chase Elliott's going to run Martinsville this weekend.
Yep. Yes, sir.
The playoff waiver, has it been granted?
Yep. It's been granted. It was granted instantly. We all knew it was going to happen. If they're going to give Josh Williams a playoff waiver, then yeah, they're going to give Chase Elliott one.
How do you guys expect Chase Elliott to do? Because I can't imagine, and I didn't see any statements, so correct me if I'm wrong, I can't imagine he's like fully healed from a broken leg. So do you think he'll be okay? Martinsville is a physical track.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, this is a track to test out if he'll be good to go, right? So I think the worst case scenario is if he's not 100%, then have a standby driver ready to go. You'll still get the full points, you know, full points day for starting the race. But from the looks of it, I don't think that's the case. You know, he's had his time to rehab, and he's apparently been going to like one of the like top sports rehab facilities out there. I forget the name, but I mean, from what I've seen and stuff, I mean, it's like one of the top ones in the entire country. So, guy, you know, he's a quick healer, I guess. And yeah, he'll be back. And I think I'm not going to go as far as to say he's going to go on this like 2015 Kyle Busch season quite yet. I want to see where he's at after like two or three races. I think, look, just get your feet wet again, you know, like, you know, yeah, he is in Hendrick equipment. He is Chase Elliott champion. He is a great driver. I'm just going to say, like, you know, I'm just going to personally just take it slow on him for now, but we'll revisit after two or three races. But hey, who knows? Maybe he might just go out there and kick some ass and score his first victory of the season. You never know, but I'm going to take it slow for now.
I'll admit I'm happy Chase Elliott is back. I hope he's recovered to a point that he can race comfortably and do well. But I'm slightly disappointed Josh Berry's not going to get a crack at Martinsville. You know,
yeah.
Short track guy. I was kind of, he's done pretty well in that nine car, I think, and it's safe to say.
And let's not forget about Josh Berry too, because like that was one of the greatest like replacement drives like I've ever seen in NASCAR, really. I mean, to have a guy finish runner up and then consistently get top tens is impressive. I know it's Hendrick Motorsports equipment, but still, like, for anyone to come in last second and do that, that's, I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, props to him.
I think with Elliott, for me, I wouldn't expect too much until probably mid-May. Because when you look at Kyle Busch when he came back, he had a bit of a getting back into the way things were running. And then he struggled a little bit at first before he then went on his tear. But I expect by summer, Chase Elliott's going to be the Chase Elliott we know. You know, again, I don't know how healed he is or if he has, you know, enough pain meds in him to take down a bull elephant. I don't know how they're going about that, but if they think he's all right, if he's been cleared by doctors, I'm going to trust him with it. I will say I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he's not dicing it up in the middle of the pack after like 20 laps at Talladega next week. I wouldn't blame him whatsoever, but I think he'll run pretty fast. Hendrick Motorsports been fast this year. He's generally a pretty good driver at any track we go to. And I mean, you kind of have a blueprint of how drivers have done this before with Kyle Busch. And I think Chase Elliott, I don't know if he's at the level of 2015 Kyle Busch in general, but he's damn close. And I think he'll prove it.
We're going to find out.
I think at this point, do you know what's best. If he doesn't feel like he can finish the race, bring it in. At this point, just getting some of the race in is better than not racing, getting no points at all. But, you know, but if he can't go all 500 laps, which is a lot to ask someone to do right after that, you know, if you need to come in at 250, just come in. It ain't worth it.
Come in at the first stage break. If there's a competition caution, yeah, it's tough. You
don't I, do it I would have, I would have Josh Berry there just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, a good point in the chat. It is 400 laps this week, and I forgot about
that. Oh, 400 laps. I forgot that's right. That. Yeah, I forgot. Sorry. Yeah,
well, still, if that's still a lot of laps. If he can't go 400 laps, I say have Barry there just in case.
Thanks for reminding us, chat. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah, they changed it up. Yeah, I agree.
Maybe this one's obvious, but I want to go and go yes or no down the line once again, starting with you, Jarrett. Does Chase Elliott make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I don't. Yeah, look, I'm not a fan of playoff waivers, but yeah, he'll make it. He'll make it in. No problem.
Yes, he'll make it. I don't know which race he wins. He'll win a race.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have to win a race. I don't think he points his way in at this point.
No, if he doesn't win a race, then no, he doesn't get in. But I think he'll win a race.
Yeah. Well, no, like, isn't it impossible for him to point his way in at this point?
It would be impossible, yeah.
Yeah.
Virtually. Like, it might be.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, he does have to win. Yeah,
well,
I can see him win.
Well, let me look at the stands. He'd have to make up, like, what, 140 points on Buescher?
and even then, he's got to try to get a couple wins if possible, because if in the off chance we have 16 winners or 17 winners,
because
it might not be enough.
We do have 7 different winners in the first 8 races. Pretty good amount of parity early on.
Oh, well, no, I'll make it past at least one more person in the points.
Oof, that's a good transition.
Yeah. In transition.
That is a great transition. You're doing my job for me, Jarrett. I appreciate you. Cody Ware, that was the other big news this week. Cody Ware, full-time driver in the Cup Series, has been arrested and suspended by NASCAR. Now, he was arrested earlier this week on charges of felony assault on a female by strangulation. We really don't know any other
There are no details. There are no details out yet.
So I really don't want to...
It's probably best that we don't know unless, you know, someone – there's another situation, NASCAR, that person wanted to tell their story, but this one, if they don't want to say it, they don't have to.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing process. Rick Ware Racing put out a statement saying that they're, you know, waiting for the process to play out. Cody Ware is cooperating with law enforcement and officials. They revealed today, I believe, that Zane Smith will drive the 51 at Martinsville. Not sure if he's a long-term solution or just a short-term one, but either way, bad stuff. Very disappointing news to hear out of Rick Ware Racing. I guess from my part, like, Cody Ware is not one of the most popular drivers, not one of the most accomplished drivers, but I do feel bad for the fans that he does have, who I think really related to how open he is on social media, how he always has been. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he had an avid group of supporters, and I'm sure they're extremely disappointed and dejected by this news. So
I've known Cody for a while, even before I started doing YouTube. Honestly, before this, I had nothing bad to say about him. He'd always been nice to me. But, you know, now it's just
for sure. If these charges turn out to be true, if he's found responsible for all this, like, not good. Obviously not good at all.
Everything's just bit entirely out of shape now.
I'll say a few things here. First off, I think what it has, like, I mean, obviously these are very serious charges. First and foremost, though, innocent until proven guilty. Just everybody innocent until proven guilty, no matter what the situation is. Number two, though, just the way this was handled, though, over the weekend. I mean, this left a bitter taste in a lot of NASCAR's fans' mouths, because when we heard, like, okay, Cody Ware is not going to be racing this weekend due to a personal matter, I'm like, you know, immediately thinking, like, oh, it must be, you know, some sort of like mental health deal and stuff. Like, look, I've been there. Hopefully, you know, wish him the best. But then to hear this, it's like, it was a total just slap in the face, punch in the gut. Because, yeah, look, Cody Ware, I just did a video on him today. If you want to watch it afterwards, go over to Black Lives Matter after the podcast, of course. Yeah, I had to do it. Sorry. But, you know, I did a video on him today just discussing his career from over the past few years in the Cup Series. While he was like hated for the most part, just being one of these like pay drivers and stuff like that at first, over time, as he started to open up about his mental health struggles and about, you know, just some of his personal interests and stuff. I know, like, for a fact, when he said, like, oh, like, I'm really into anime and stuff, like, a bunch of NASCAR fans are like, oh, so am I, blah, blah, blah. So like, that's why, like, I feel for the man, because like, they were a fan of his and stuff, you know, they were rooting for him. I remember after he scored his first and only top 10 at Daytona, there was a bunch of support out there for him. Like, oh, Cody Ware got a top 10. And now to hear this, it's very sad to hear. But again, I'll just point these four words out again: innocent until proven guilty. We don't know any more details right now, unfortunately, but you know, these are very serious charges too. And also, what it says to me is that, okay, this whole incident took place April 3rd. Then they wait a few days and stuff, pretty much a week to make the announcement and stuff, means that they must have did. I mean, they obviously investigated, didn't like what they saw and stuff, and charged him. So
when I heard them say it was a personal matter, my mind went a few different places there. And just to be honest, I know it's been documented that he's had issues with depression before. Mm-hmm. That's where my mind first started to go, and I was worried like something like that had come up. But then I also thought it was weird how the team replaced his name on the car. And here lately, when there's been something like that, we've seen teams keep the name of the driver on the car, like with Kurt Busch, like with Alex Bowman, like Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They immediately replaced Crafton. That was kind of a red flag.
Yeah, I should have seen that as a red flag.
Especially since his dad is the car owner, you know, that was a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think all I'll say is this. I agree with the sentiment, innocent to proven guilty. You remember what happened with Eddie DeHaan? The internet went after him.
Yeah.
And then it was proven in court that something didn't happen. I'm just saying that I'm not going to go and bash his character yet. But if he did that, he should not be allowed to race again.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I think clear as day that should be the case. But yeah, I'm not going to go and speculate on what happened just because it is really serious. And if he did end up doing that, like that, that's just,
yeah,
there's a lot of problems there on many levels.
And also too, just one final thing too. I mean, like, you know, his brother Carson had a similar incident a couple years ago. So there's, you know, it's unfortunate, but I mean, there is a pattern with the Ware family and having this sort of incident, unfortunately.
And even if NASCAR says down the line, okay, Cody, complete your road to recovery or whatever they need to do, I don't think it would happen, but if they did that, it's going to be hard for fans to have any kind of good feeling about them.
Yeah.
And sponsors. Sponsorship.
Yeah, sponsors.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah, but no, yeah. I don't want to speculate too much until we learn more about it. Mm-hmm. If anything is made public or leaked or whatever.
I agree.
I kind of agree with what John Irby says in the chat. Kind of reminds him of Spencer Gallagher, you know, had a promising career, won an Xfinity race, but drug incident got him permanently suspended and never came back from that.
Yeah. I mean, totally different situation, of course, but yeah, I mean, like,
it's still separate legal matters.
Exactly. And obviously it's not like Cody Ware was setting the world on fire, but I mean, he was starting to build up a bit of a fan base and stuff that really rooted for him in more ways than one. And he's let him down as of right now. So
one thing we can speculate on though, how do you guys think Zane Smith will do this weekend?
Better than Cody.
Yeah, better than Cody has. That's for sure.
He's still driving a Rick Ware car, so.
Yeah, I don't expect him to set the world on fire. But if he happens to maybe run like top 15 in that ride somehow, that'd be very impressive for Zane Smith. I don't know how he would do it, but if he does, then yeah, we'll
superhuman
see.
Zane Smith.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Top 15?
Yeah.
Let's be a little bit generous. Let's say top 25.
All right, fine. Top 25.
That man runs top 15. Like, he should be taking over 2005 Roush at the moment. Like that's right. How well he should be promoted. Yeah. He should be taken back in time to a better time in Ford's history.
Hey, JJ Yaley ran top 20 in a Rick Ware car just 1 week ago. So, you know, Rick Ware Racing's not that bad yet.
Yeah. Are we going to Dirt Martinsville?
He started third, so they don't qualify that bad either, right?
Yeah, damn. It was going to championship four.
Yeah, continue.
Let's talk a little about Denny Hamlin. This is a big topic. I like how I just said, like, let's talk about Denny Hamlin. Yeah, Denny Hamlin himself is a big topic. But on his podcast this week, he enlightened us listeners with a few little details. One, that we all kind of assumed that other team owners were not happy when Garage 56 and that Hendrick Motorsports partnership was announced. Mm-hmm. Completely believe that. He also talked about the boycott last week. The owners
It wasn't a boycott.
Yeah, well, I put the quotes around it because Denny Hamlin did not want to call it a boycott for some reason. I don't know why. It's like a buzzword or something.
What was it?
He even said the team owners all talked beforehand and said, hey, we're not going to show up. And like he's like,
it's a protest.
We didn't force the other teams to not show up, but everyone ultimately was on the same page.
Bro, that's a boycott, bro. That's still a boycott.
No, they collectively agreed not to show up in protest of the... Oh, that sounds like a boycott.
Yeah, like, what the heck are you doing? So, what are we talking about?
Well, he's also figured out he can't just say words that could get him in trouble.
Yeah, that happened once before. We don't need that.
What are they going to do? Take his...
Yeah.
I thought the most interesting part of that segment of the podcast this week was when he kind of suggested that like he feels like NASCAR's out to get him and he feels like they could take his charter out of spite. Did you hear that part?
Wait, hold on. He says NASCAR's out to get him, right?
It was kind of speculative, but he was sort of like, hey, well, he basically said, hey, NASCAR's clearly shown that they're out to get me sometimes, so what if they take my charter, you know?
That doesn't surprise me. You keep running your damn mouth.
It came off as a little paranoid, but here's the thing I will say.
You did it to yourself, bro.
I think Hamlin's point in favor of the charter system is a valid one. His whole point was you can't, like, the charter system needs to become permanent because if there's any chance that NASCAR could one day just take these charters away, then good luck getting any other outside investors to buy into teams or start race teams. Like you need, I think a lot of investors, if they're going to pour millions into a cup program, they need that security blanket that the current charter system seems to provide. So that's the disagreement. I don't know. I don't want to get too much into this because we still have more politics to get to here at the end of the show. But yeah. I mean, how do you guys feel? Do you feel good about where the charter agreement, or I should say the revenue distribution agreement between teams and NASCAR. Do you feel good about where the negotiations are right now?
So he did say that he and the teams feel like after finding out that stuff, they feel further away now from NASCAR than they previously did and have and had felt for a while. They thought it was coming together. I will kind of admit it kind of reminds me of when they announced the stuff with the street race and how the people in Chicago didn't know what the hell was going on with people talking to NASCAR. Kind of shady behind the scenes stuff. My deal is this, is that this is going to come to a head. There's no way that the teams are going to waver on this. They can't. The charters are too, like we talked about it last week, the charters are too intertwined in the way that teams run now and in the money process of everything. And there's no way, I mean, they're costing $20 million a charter. If NASCAR were to buy them back, unless they just say they're null and void at that point, then you have even worse problems. If they were to buy them back, they would have to be spending a total of $720 million to do that. Money that, yes, NASCAR has a lot of, but they would probably have major cuts be made. So my question is, what happens when this reaches ahead? And to me, the catalyst of it reaching ahead is, especially if the rumors are true about a 40% increase in TV revenue, that revenue split and how NASCAR views it and Jim France views it with the charters and taking those away and how much money they get with that versus the teams wanting the charters and probably the same revenue split that they would agree on, now wanting it changed if the charters are gone. That I think that's where it comes to a head. And the fact that we haven't heard any news so far is, honestly, it's kind of weird compared to the last time. The last contract, the current one we're on right now, that started in 2015, negotiation started summer of 2012 on that and was signed by, I think, the end of 2013, fully. They even adjusted the contract a little bit so Fox could have a couple more races and fit with NBC better. That's what they had with the last one. Or this one, you're not really hearing anything, and the only thing you can really do is speculate off the moves of the network. So that it, I feel like you're having a lot of stuff happen in a very short amount of time. If this gets prolonged into the summer, you basically have a year and a half, if not a year, to figure out how to resolve this thing, which could easily happen. I think it's already very ugly at this point, and I think it's going to get more ugly.
I mean, Denny Hamlin did say on his podcast that the teams, at least on it, from their perspective, feel like time is starting to run out, or deadlines are sneaking up quicker than maybe NASCAR seems to realize or is comfortable with. So, I don't have much else to echo other than, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. I think you would like these negotiations to be further along than they are, but I'm not ready to hear people in the chat are saying, split and
it's too early.
I don't know what that would look like. The Race Team Alliance has already suggested starting their own series.
But I'll say this about people's split talks. Because I think at this point, hearing more what the teams are saying and you compare it to the way that the open wheel split was, there are similarities. Of course, you can find similarities in anything. I think the difference here is people are talking about the Cars Tour being that avenue out. But look who bought up the Cars Tour. People who are aligned with NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is aligned with NASCAR and NBC. Jeff Burton is definitely aligned with NASCAR. Kevin Harvick just signed with Fox, a partner of NASCAR. Justin Marks, probably one of the most pro-NASCAR owners who win. Remember Talladega last year? Everyone's like, Denny Hamlin's leading this charge of owners being upset with NASCAR. It was Trackhouse and Justin Marks who were the outliers saying that they were going overboard with. So I get that people should be rightfully worried that these are grounds we have not been on with NASCAR probably ever, but I don't want to sound the alarm bells on all fronts until we hear a little bit more. I mean, the fact we're having this conversation is it speaks volumes, and the fact that they will put on exhibition races is a big statement. I think you can't really talk or speculate too much on it until you know what kind of money is being played with the new contract. I mean, they're talking in the chat. It said July 23rd, 2013 is what a lot of people are saying I saw in the chat of when it was signed. So If it's based on the last contract, if we should know by July. And at that point, I mean, that's only, that's less than a year and a half.
Yeah.
Until 25.
So if we don't hear anything by July, should we start getting like a little worried then? Like, hey, what's going on here? Like,
I mean, I think questions should be asked about it. Yeah. I don't know how many will be answered, but I think they should be asked and at least inquired on by
people. Because we're starting we're starting to cut it a little close, aren't we? As far as the TV contract, the current contract running up.
It could still be on time. It's just, it's weird not hearing anything about it.
Yeah, because we usually have in years past. We usually have, you know, but yeah, it's totally different. Please no 10-year deals, though. Let's just, you know, shorter deals maybe, but we'll see.
Well, to continue kind of with some off-track NASCAR drama, but a little different, Hendrick Motorsports was penalized again since we last did an episode of our show. This penalty was announced before Bristol Dirt. I think it was last Thursday.
Yeah.
William Byron and Alex Bowman's team were each penalized 60 driver owners points, 5 playoff points, and were fined, I think, was it $75,000 each? And the team already said they will not appeal. They said that their effort is better spent preparing for other races. They said that whatever issue with the greenhouse that NASCAR found did not affect their performance. But it's clear NASCAR, after Hendrick won their appeal, despite being found guilty 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were seeking any reason to ding Hendrick Motorsports again. They took 2 of their cars back to the R&D center.
Now also really quick note, they're supposed to be 2 random cars, and they randomly
took the random part out of the rule book from what Bob was saying. Because now sometimes they don't even take cars to the R&D center anymore.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, the word random is used very loosely here. It's like, we're taking you at random. Come on.
Okay.
Like airport security random.
One other note, I think Bob Pockers was the first to report this. But NASCAR will begin displaying confiscated illegal parts at the racetrack for all the teams and fans to see.
That's good to see.
They used to do that actually with the crew members back in the 70s and 80s. I think they used to do that a long time ago.
Because I think it's fair that people know what not to do.
Yeah, don't do this. And also, here's this this cheater's work on full display.
So what we're going to do is we're going to hire Ryan Preece to stand there with it all weekend. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this.
And then is NASCAR going to hire like somebody to stand beside the illegal parts and say like, shame, 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 shame.
Just if you're suspended, you still get to come to the track, but you have to sit there with a dunce hat on your head the whole weekend.
And then some random guy is saying, shame, shame, shame on you.
Well, I'll say, I think that is something good to put out there. It's if done right and they show the teams what was wrong with it, transparency. That's what we've been asking for.
That's what we've been asking for.
And so I think that would be the right move in sending a message. I think from this point on, I will say this, and I don't mean this jokingly either. Can we stop, at least when it comes to the NASCAR fan base, and saying that NASCAR will do anything to make sure Hendrick Motorsports is favored? Like, obviously this, I would say this proved they're not. Like, they're never going to come out and say we purposely did this or we're looking for anything, but it's pretty damn clear they were. Was the appeals panel what?
Was they a little favoritism there?
You could bring that up. Like, I would have to do more research into the connections for each of them. But I did see some people questioning those connections to Hendrick Motorsports. so I don't want to speak too much on it till I know for sure. But that part was interesting. I would just say another thing too is, do you think there's at this point, only 2 months away, you think NASCAR is Maybe rethinking a little bit, partnering with Hendrick Motorsports for Garage 56 after all this? It kind of makes it a little awkward.
Yeah, like I had completely forgotten about that. I'm like, oh yeah, like they've been doing this. Oh, there, little TV thing there for Jared, from Jared's camera. But no, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. They are working on this like major product together and stuff. Is there like any sort of tension with building up with that now? Or?
Well, it's like when you're in school and the teacher scolds you in front of the class. Like, how could 2 + 2 = 3? How did you get that wrong? Like, are you serious? Like, cause I've had teachers do that. And then afterwards, they're like, you did really good on this assignment. Yeah, screw you too. I'm not even gonna let my camera work.
Yeah. But yeah, no, very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Oh,
I'm fixing it.
All right. All right.
Well, speaking of
enjoy the rainbow sides of Jarrett.
It's Rainbow Road. Yeah.
Speaking of transparency, NASCAR also modified the rule book. One, now if appeals panel finds the team or whoever guilty, they can't fully rescind part of the penalty. They have to, if they modify it, they can only modify it within the ranges in the rule book. So that would make impossible what happened to Hendrick, where they got all their points given back. That would no longer be possible. But they also said that NASCAR has now the right to publish the appeals panel's decision. So both rules that I think would have, it would have been nice if they were in place before the Hendrick Motorsports Louvre debacle and the Colleague Louvre debacle. But yeah, I don't love changing the rule book mid-season, but I do actually like these rule changes, so I'm kind of torn. But
well,
yeah,
no, this is one of the rare ones. I'm all for this type of rule change. You know, we want more transparency. We're finally going to get it. So I like it.
Not to change topics, but the chat's saying the Tampa Bay Rays won again. They're
12 and 0 now. Damn,
12, they were just
That's a team that I heard was rumored to want to just move to Nashville recently.
Yeah.
They've been trying to move that team for like several years now.
And they're really great, right? Weren't they just in the World Series? And
a few years ago they were, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
They've been
good. That's what's
been good more times than not lately, but 12-0 in baseball, that is ridiculous.
Nice. Now, do we have any 0-12 teams in baseball or not?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh, man. I like to see this.
How's your team doing, Eric?
They've gone off to kind of a slow start, but Jose Altuve broke his finger in the World Baseball Classic, so I'm going to wait until
That's fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to wait for Jose to come back before I get up in arms.
Yeah, well, welcome back, Jared. Good to see you again.
Yeah, I came back to let you know the Cubs are 6-5, so we're over 500. Yeah.
Oh, mediocrity. Hey,
it's better than sucking like the last couple of years.
I'll take it.
But anyway.
I got tickets to go see the Cubs when I during the Chicago Street Week. So
they play?
I'm excited for that. Oh, I want to say maybe it was Cleveland.
I like how those series end out.
We went and saw them play the Red Sox when we were there for Road America last year.
Also, really quick, Jared, good news. The 40 and 42 Bulls are currently tied in the play-in game. Yay!
Yeah.
The 9th and 10th place game.
Hang the banner.
Oh, man.
We need to have a compilation of every time on this show I say hang the banner.
Hang the banner. Yeah, you've said it so many times.
We also just need to have a compilation every time we talk about other sports, like maybe the Tennessee Titans involve you guys with your other team.
But you know what? You know what, though? We've talked about a lot of NASCAR, though, but let's get back into it.
Yeah, we'll add that to the Clips channel later.
Yeah. We'll add to the Clips.
We'll bring it back.
Sure. But we got a race this weekend, Eric.
We have three races this weekend. Martinsville Speedway, the Paperclip. I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. The truck race is up first. I believe the trucks are on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Long John Silver's 200. 200 laps, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on FS1 and MRN. There's a 55% chance of rain. There are some evening thunderstorms, but hopefully, I think, are the rain tires are in trucks as well, right?
I think so.
All right.
They might end up using them.
The Xfinity race is on Saturday. That is the call811.com before you dig 250. I swear, call811 sponsors every Xfinity
race. It feels like it.
250 laps. That is 7:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1 and MRN Saturday night. Warm and sunny, only a 25% chance of rain. So that's looking a little better. Cup race is the NOCO 400. I don't know what NOCO is, but I hope to find out this weekend.
NOCO was on Alex Bowman's car for a while in 2020. It's like
it was one of the Chevy partners.
Yeah.
Didn't he win at Auto Club with that?
No, that was the Cincinnati one.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
They all blur. All these blur together at this point.
I remember that race because me and Eric, we were there right before the pandemic. Good times.
Beginning of the end. The NOCO 400 is 400 laps. Starts 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1 MRN. So it is on FS1 this week, Sunday afternoon. Fox Sports 1. It's a warm day, 78 degrees, so very different from last year. It was very cold this weekend last year. But there is currently an 88% chance of rain on Sunday, so fingers crossed that goes down at least a little bit. All I know is Bristol Dirt had bad forecasts coming into the weekend, and things cleared up by race time, so fingers crossed. I didn't mention the defending winners. I apologize. The truck race defending winner is William Byron. I haven't even looked. Is he on the entry list this week?
Nope. No. But someone else,
Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones won this, won the Xfinity race last year, and Byron also won the Cup race last spring as well. So, Darian, before we get into our picks, who is Las Vegas? Who are the betting odds?
And also, don't forget, last spring we had a little, you know, 1-2 piece action. Hopefully, we see that again. I'd love to see that again. Awesome. Different drivers this time, of course. Anyways, now to the famous betting odds on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. William Byron and Kyle, actually, we have a three-way tie in terms of the this weekend's race favorites. William Byron, Kyle Larson, and Christopher Bell all entered this weekend at plus 650 to win. Denny Hamlin plus 700 and Martin Truex Jr. plus 850. As for the best of the rest, Joey Logano plus 900, Ryan Blaney plus 1100, Kyle Busch plus 1400, Ross Chastain plus 1600, and finally, Kevin Harvick plus 2000. As for the famous underdogs, Chase Briscoe and Daniel Suarez, both plus 4000. Bubba Wallace plus 5000. He's pretty good here when he has the right setup and mindset. Ty Gibbs plus 6,000. And this is my personal favorite because, like, after Ty Gibbs, it just tapers off entirely. So, like, you have the guys who are like 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. And I picked Todd Gilliland at plus 40,000 because he's on a roll, you know, top 15 finishes here or there. You never know. It's Martinsville. A few things could go his way. And yeah, you know, but he's plus 40,000 to win. So if those you want to bet some money,
crazy.
Yeah, those are some pretty crazy odds. I mean, like, look, I mean, I don't think Todd Gilliland's going to win personally, but damn, just to put him at plus 40,000 though, like, that seems a bit much, right?
Disrespect.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, though,
didn't he qualify like ninth last year in this race? Uh-huh.
Yeah. So hey, take advantage of the odds makers. They obviously don't watch racing like that. It's clear as day. And really quick, so so moving on to the other fantasy league, the NWP fantasy league. Let's go over the top five. Eric, you're gonna love this first name. Right now, NP1 is Kansas Legacy 2. He has just a 1 point lead over 48 Nation. And third is Ricky Spinhouse, and fourth is Danny B. Wife. And rounding out the top five is Sean Hilkowitz. I think I said that last name right. I think I said it right.
Pretty disappointed to see Danny B. Wife fall down a little bit.
And you know what? Hey, I'm only 3 points outside the top five in P6. All good. All good. Still in the hunt. So not a bad start. And now moving on to the NWP Fantasy League 2, the second fantasy league. My personal favorite name. Oh no, we suck again. Blaney's Pit Crew, currently P1. In P2 is Race Roar 48. P3 is Black Flags Matter. P4 is Common Chase L E Ut. And there's a space there. So I had the L capitalized and stuff. I see what you did there. And finally, rounding out the top five is JC underscore 43. All right. Thank you guys for playing, and let's continue to play for the rest of the season.
Can we just skip this next section this week?
Why would you want to skip it?
Well, I had like a 20-something point lead, and then I picked Daniel Suarez, who led 60 laps at Bristol Dirt last year, 50 the year before that. I don't think he sniffed the top 20 once Sunday.
Bro, you sound like a spoiled brat, though. Like, I don't want to do this segment, kids. I'm in the points lead, but fine. Not as much.
I demand perfection from myself. I can't believe the chat picked the winner this week. But that being said, I'm still leading our NWP pick points with 157. Chat is now minus 12. Jarrett is 33 back. Danny, minus 45. Darian, minus 46.
Hey, Danny's just squatting
over me. Do you realize how close I am to being basement boy right now?
He's squatting over me a little bit. Hey, bro, I'm coming back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I still love that I look like a Simpsons character on that graphic.
That's funny. I just love my reaction. I'm just so happy to just being in last for most of the season. Like, hey, yeah, it's all good. It's all good still. But yeah, no, this has been fun.
Chance to gain or lose a ton of points with three races at Martinsville this weekend. So gentlemen, I guess let's begin with the Truck Series race Friday night. I'll lead things off. I'm going with a lot of heavy favorites tonight. I'm just going to be honest. I'm a little snake bit after last week. So Zane Smith is my Truck Series pick.
What?
Oh, that's well, that's a good pick, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch on this one.
What?
I'm following. I'm following Jarrett. I'm going with Kyle Busch.
Eric, are you sure? Okay, I'm going with Kyle Busch as well. Nah, Kyle Busch.
This is a truck race, not an Xfinity race.
If you're just giving us, free points,
hey, chat, take the free points, man. Take the free points, everybody.
I think Zane Smith. I just think that 38 truck is so much.
They're going to Kyle Busch. It's clear as day.
Yeah,
I think the 38 truck is better than the 51.
Hey, Eric, bro. Hey, don't get too confident now. Just hey. Don't be in my position. You'll be in the basement if you get too confident.
I think it's like a 50-50 call between the two of them. Zane's won how many? He's won two races already this year.
No, he's not a bum. He's not a bum. He's not a bum.
I think it's more like a 51-38 percentage.
All right, but no, Chad's going with Kyle Busch. And course, somebody brought back T-Pain, bringing back to the old days. All right, now moving on.
The next up is the Xfinity Series race. Let's see. I was looking for my notes. I have too many windows open. My pick to win the Xfinity race is Chandler Smith.
Chandler.
All right. Well,
the floodgates are open. That's what I believe.
Well, I told these guys before the show I was going to kind of go a little out there for my Xfinity pick. This guy has run top five at Martinsville numerous times, been up front in contention to win the race. He's better this year than he was last year. Riley Herbst is going to get his first win this weekend.
I like it.
You were thinking bold. I'm going with what the chat is looking like. It looks like they're all going with Josh Berry. I'm also going with Josh Berry for this one.
And you know what, Danny and chat? I agree with y'all 100%. Josh Berry scores the victory. But I do like the Riley Herbst pick. I do like that.
On the edge. I can see it.
And yeah, the chat looks like eight. They're going with eight. It looks like
we've all got a chance to catch up on you said Kyle. Like, we got a chance to catch up on Eric here.
Yeah, the Kyle Busch consensus pick didn't shock me from the chat. I thought there'd be a few more Zane Smiths. I think they're right. I think it's close. But I'm shocked that they're also bought into a Josh Berry. I mean, he's great here, no doubt. But I'm surprised that he is the runaway favorite. So let's see if their cup picks are just as popular or just as consistent. Mm-hmm. Starting with the suck pick, who's going to suck in the cup race Sunday at Martinsville? I'm like the host, but then I also have to go first because of the order. my suck pick, I don't feel great about Joe Gibbs Racing. I just feel like that's not entirely true. I think Christopher Bell is going to be good.
We were just talking about Bell.
I know, but Truex, I was going to go with Truex, spoiler. I just feel like Truex, for some reason, last year did not run well at tracks he's typically good at. And we haven't seen a strong enough sample size yet this year, but I just have a feeling he's going to run like 12th. And I expect more. I expect more from Truex.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with the easy pick and the one that the chat seems to forget they can't pick, Eric Almirola.
I hated to see him run so bad this weekend. And Eric even went and visited them today, but I got to go with Brad Keselowski on this one.
That's right. Oh, yeah. How was that visit, by the way, Eric? It looked like you had a lot of fun.
Okay. It was fun. Appreciate RFK showing me around. I got to sit in on pit stop practice today, which is kind of unique. I found out that, and you saw in that Twitter video, that they have an 05 or 06. It's an 06, I think, Kenseth car on display. But I didn't realize they had a sign up this time that didn't used to be there, that the chassis of that car was used for several years, including for Kenseth's one and only 2003 season win at Las Vegas.
Nice.
So I was like, that is historic. That is really cool.
Yeah. The win that basically broke the system as we know it. Yeah. Pretty much. My who's going to suck pick, a pretty obvious one, Harrison Burton. I mean, don't really expect him to do much, and it's Martinsville. I mean, he's won there in the past, but lately he hasn't done a whole lot.
Are we expecting his weekly spin to come back?
I expect 2 to 3 spins. There you go.
And the chat is going up Ty Dillon.
Yeah. Oh, damn. They found a new one. They found the new guy. All right.
That's their backup.
Yeah. I have a feeling I know what their underdog pick's going to be. I got a feeling.
We said they couldn't do that one either.
Oh, well, no. I was thinking of another driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're ready for underdog picks for the Cup Series race. No, this guy's not an underdog. I was going to say Ryan Blaney, but he's not an underdog. But I just feel like he's due to get the finish he deserves. Finally. So I'm not going to say Blaney. I'm going to go Bubba Wallace instead.
How has Blaney usually run at Martinsville?
He's decent. I mean, he's decent. I mean, he's never won there.
But yeah. I'm going Bubba Wallace. He's won there in trucks before. They just haven't really had anything go their way, especially last 3 or 4 weeks, whether it's been mistakes by the driver, mistakes by the pit crew. There's been a fair share of both. But I think this week things turn around. He runs top 10 at the very least.
Well, I'm going to go with somebody we talked about earlier. Long odds, but I think he can probably get a top 10, 15. He's in the 38, right? I don't understand why Todd Gilliland is not above a 10,000 odd. So I'm going to go Todd Gilliland on this one. I think he'll have a solid run, and front row right now seems to be in that top 15 to 18 range. So I'm going with them.
Well, you might have debated on your Blaney pick, but I'm not going to debate on this one. Just coming back after what's happened, I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. And if he can make it the whole race, if he can even get a top 15, I say that is that's a win in his books.
We're getting a taste of what this show would have been like in 2016 in his rookie year.
I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace. Yeah, I mean, just when he's on here. 2021 really stands out, the first year of that team. He was leading their first laps ever. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace this weekend. And it looks like the chats.
A lot for Todd, actually. I give it Todd.
Yeah. I thought they were going to go with Bubba for this one, but no, they're going to go with Todd. Nice. Cool. All right. And now for the main event of the evening. Who's going to win? And who's going to win at Martinsville? Eric?
I'm always glad you say it the second time because we never hear it the first time.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Well.
Oh, man, I was so split on this one. Like I said at the beginning, I was trying to pick mostly heavy favorites to win this weekend. I'm playing it really safe. So that's why I almost put him as my underdog as a consolation prize. But I like Ryan Blaney a lot this weekend. I think Blaney has a great shot at winning, but he hasn't won a points race in like a year and a half or something. So I can't pick Blaney. I'm going to go with the safer bet. Willie B gets Rudy Fugel back this weekend. I'll go William Byron.
I think that's a really good pick, but I'm going to pick somebody who needs a bit of redemption after this race last year. He was atrocious in this race last year, and then he ran really well. Coming off turn four, he was qualified in the final four until the last 800 feet. I'm going to go Denny on this one. I think Denny Hamlin's going to get a win in one of the Virginia races.
Side note, how many times is Fox going to shove that down our throat this weekend?
A lot.
All the time.
Yeah, the entire weekend.
I like that pick. I'm actually going to say two in a row, both in terms of Martinsville and two in a row in weeks. I'm going to say Christopher Bell wins at Martinsville again. He had a very good run there in the fall, and right now he's hot and he's going.
Yeah, that dirt guy is certainly on a roll. I'm going to go with the other dirt guy who had a bit of a controversial weekend last week with the 41. Kyle Larson gets his second victory of the season.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and end the win pick poll for the chat. I know that was a while ago. But William Byron, by a pretty clear margin, is the pick for the chat to win this Sunday's Cup Series race.
I do want to point one thing out before we head out. One, I want to thank everybody for watching because we've been – like, you guys have been killing it coming in force the last couple weeks. And also, I talked to these guys about it earlier this past week. We had our most listened to, like, audio podcast ever last week. So,
oh, wow.
Everyone listening on audio, too. I know that we don't shout you guys out as much because it is a live show. But thank you, guys. Like, it's been awesome seeing everybody come out this year.
And thank you, Jared, for editing the stuff right away. I mean, there's some certain things you got to cut out. Probably mostly me just like talking, saying a bunch of, what do you call it, gibberish. Yeah.
I just cut out the silence of your mic.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, thanks for doing that. Yeah, makes me sound a whole lot better than I actually am. So thank you. Because I actually listened back on those and I'm like, damn, it's a totally different show compared to the live one.
Yeah, Jared, absolutely killing it. And we appreciate all of you viewers and listeners at home for continuing to support us and for putting up with my crappy earbud hotel mic.
It wasn't bad. I mean,
it's not too bad.
Similar setup for Daytona, but you were outside and you were still able to make that work and you were able to make this work this time. So it was pretty cool. But you'll be back at home next week, right, for my channel?
We can only hope and pray.
Yeah, we'll see.
Talladega week, baby.
Yep. Talladega weekend. Yep.
On that note, next week, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Wednesday night, Darian's channel, Black Flags Matter. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to subscribe to all the hosts you are currently watching or listening to. But gentlemen, I think that's going to do it. Another episode in the books.
Yeah.
How about
great.
That?
Yeah, great, great show. Very efficient show, too. We were talking about efficiency before we started. Like so. Yeah,
very nice. Job. Thank you all for listening and watching. Thank you for the support. We will see you again next week on Darian's channel. Enjoy Martinsville.
Goodbye. Oh, yeah.
Ready. Turn. What the copy. Right down. We had to go play it. Unbelievable, man. Ready to kick your hand in this. Holy oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Miss your face. Thanks, pal.
Steve, you look beautiful. Doing great.